Welcome to In the Name of Game.
Welcome to In the Name of Game, a video game podcast. Today is November 21st, 2013. And welcome back to our show. I'm your host, Iggy.
I'm co-host Adam.
I'm co-host Colin.
And I'm co-host Knox.
Yay. Woo! So this party. Week, party with the Xbox, because this week the Xbox One came out. Wow. Right?
Y'all bought them.
No. Well, I'm sure somebody did. Well, actually, is it out yet? Because the reviews are out. It's like the PS4, because the reviews came out a couple days before the PS4 actually released.
Pretty sure it's a PS4 thing.
Yeah, okay. Well, it will be out at some point this week.
Friday.
That sounds really...
Comes out Friday.
Why are they picking Fridays now?
I don't know, but it's Friday.
Okay, so Friday, tomorrow.
No, I bet it's because people can ask off work on Friday, so they can all go to the stores.
Three-day weekend.
Yeah.
And what do you?
And then they can sit down as soon as they get home, just... You know, for 72 straight hours, put their hand in their crotch and just play some video games, man.
Oh. Okay.
Oh, wait, you're talking about visual not for the at week. Work. Not at work, you're saying?
Either or.
Yeah, I just do that anyway.
So, I believe it's getting pretty fairly reviewed at the moment, so, similar to PS4. PS4, I think, is still kind of the reigning king so far in terms of technological or tech specs. I guess I should say. Yeah. But I think Xbox is still kind of in the same boat as PS4. It's like, what the hell are you really going to be playing? Do you need it right now? You could probably wait, because Titanfall is what, due early next year, I guess. So I'm not sure why people are so quick to do the early adoption thing with consoles, especially since there was news just last week about the PS4, like certain random ones having broken features. Huh?
The blue light of death.
Is that what it's called? Well, my coworker had one that the HDMI port just didn't work. So I think there's various host of
awesome.
Yeah.
Multiple issues. That's a double win right there.
Yeah. So we'll have to see like what the Xbox One experiences in terms of those kind of problems. I mean, maybe it could be perfect.
But, yeah, and I think they said that affected 4,000 consoles.
Yeah, it's not many, but still, it sucks.
But it's the internet, and the internet's fickle, so of course everyone's like,
boo, everything's broken, oh! Yeah.
Boo this company, boo!
Yeah, so that is a thing. And speaking of the PS4, so on the first day, they already sold 1 million units. So if anyone was worried about the state of next-gen consoles, I think it's probably in good hands so far. And that's 1 million units with no games. So that's even more impressive.
Suck it, PC Master Race.
Right. They did announce that the Destiny beta is going to launch first on PS3 and PS4. So, okay, that will be something nice for your PS4 once it's available. Destiny, I still don't know how I feel about that, because from everything I've seen, it looks kind of like a Borderlands hybrid.
It looks like a better Borderlands.
Yeah, yeah. I definitely like the style a lot better than Borderlands. I have an issue with... I mean, the first Borderlands was cool, you know, because no one had really done that sort of cel-shaded, exaggerated style the way that they do. But, I don't know, I'm kind of tired of it by now. So something different is appealing to me. But, yeah, Destiny looks more, like, Halo-ish, obviously. But I like a Halo-style Borderlands more than I would like a Borderlands, so I guess I'll be in that Destiny audience once it comes out. are you guys going to pre-order it?
I'm not sure. I mean, I'd like to play that sort of stuff on the PC, but my PC is kind of shit, so...
Yeah, and they didn't... I don't think they said if they're going to have it on PC, or did they by now?
I thought they did.
Okay, so then you could actually play it on PC. But I thought at first it was only going to be console-based, so I thought, well, fuck it, I'll just get it on PS4.
No, it is only going to be on consoles. You're right.
Really?
Yeah.
Gross. But Titanfall won't, so I'm definitely getting that on PC. Not getting the Xbox. Yeah, so there's that. In other news, the Myst creators are making another game. It's been kind of a while. When was the last one?
Cyan hasn't existed for years.
Well, it hasn't, but I mean the creators themselves, right? Like, are they calling themselves...
Cyanide, actually. I read they're calling themselves Cyanide Studios instead of Cyan.
I don't think is there a reason they can't just keep their old.
I think because they got bought by Ubisoft, wasn't it?
Oh,
because Ubisoft made the last few Myst games, which were kind of shit.
Yeah.
Let me see here.
Yeah, I'm always amazed.
Last one was 2005.
Okay. Like. Yeah, it's been
how
a while.
How many Myst games have there been?
There were five.
Jesus.
Oh, five, I believe. So I've only played the first two. Yeah, it says developer was Cyanide Studios, so I don't know if it's just like, you know, these guys left. A lot of them left before the third Myst game, which I forget the name.
Exactly.
They left after Riven, yeah. They left after Riven. So, you know, it's kind of like one of those cases like there was another game that just came out where one of the developers who left the game came back and he's like, I'm going to make this, you know. It's like if Lauren Lanning left Oddworld at the beginning and then came back and said, I'm going to make another Oddworld game, you know?
Well, they've already made, as of this podcast, they've made a little over 1.3 million. So they're well on their way, hopefully, to making an actual game. And hopefully faster than Double Fine, because all that crap with their funding. It's like, hey, here's the money. Where's the game? Oh, need more money?
This is the number one reason I don't crowdsource shit, because like, I give them money and then it's like, oh, Tim Schafer's sitting with his thumb up his ass making this game, you know?
Well, that's the problem. Like, it's so hard to tell. There's certain Kickstarters I've seen that are so well planned out, at least on their project page, where it seems like, oh, this makes sense. It'll totally get made. And then maybe they'll run into something they totally didn't account for. And then that just throws a huge wrench into their works, and then they can't do it. Which I'm assuming is what happened with Double Fine. Like, maybe they underestimated some factor of the game-making process, which is weird because you would think they would get on the ball for that.
Yeah, I think it's okay. Well, I mean, not that it's okay to be late in delivering or not deliver, but that Double Fine did it because they were the first to do it to that magnitude.
Oh, so it's noticed?
Well, no. I just think, like, if they are a pioneer in that, like, getting that big via Kickstarter.
Oh, I see.
Others coming along now should never have that problem because you have enough case examples to, you know, research and read all this stuff. I mean, I've backed probably 40 Kickstarter projects.
Wow.
Mostly in board games.
I had that sort of money.
Well, board games, I think, seem a lot more doable than, like, a video game.
But there have been, like, a few major board games that have not delivered, and they've made a ton of money. Yeah.
So, okay, so what happens in those cases? They still get to keep the money, right? Even though they didn't finish?
Well, there's one in particular that I'm thinking of where the guy behind it is still MIA.
Jesus Christ. Like,
yeah, and it's been, I think he was supposed to deliver it in August, but as soon as the Kickstarter ended, he never posted again, never responded to any comments or emails, and, like, people have been trying to track him
down.
That's
so weird. It's not like he's anonymous, so, like, how does he think he's going to stay away from people that are, like, demanding, like, where's our game? Like,
he just moved to the Cayman Islands, probably.
Yeah, well, I think people have figured out that he, like, moved to Florida or something from wherever he was before and didn't, like, tell anyone.
Was it a substantial, like, how much money was it?
Let me see if I can pull up.
Was it like a million, or was it like
no, it wasn't that much, but you know, it was enough. Let's see here.
Yeah, so there's always that. I mean, I've backed some physical items, you know, like I backed the what are they calling it, like the world's thinnest watch or whatever, which they give little email updates like, oh, now we're in production on this, or now we found the material for this. So I feel kind of more confident that will actually come to fruition.
Only ever backed a brewery, actually.
What is that, by the way?
Local one, or?
Yeah, local brewery LA Ale Works. It's, I don't know if it's open yet, but the guy definitely is working on it. So.
Oh, so it's a brewery?
Yeah.
But that place spelled with a U, right?
No, not the brewery. This is a different brewery. This is a new brewery that's in the works right now.
That's not confusing at all.
Yeah, what?
Then what's not the brewery, like the company, the brewery that produces all the Belgian ales and sours.
Oh.
This is a good old-fashioned brewery with the EW in it. That is its own company. LA Ale Works is the name.
Oh.
Speaking of new breweries, Days End Brewing Company in St. Louis, coming soon to a city near you. Sorry,
most likely in St. Louis.
It's like a little plug for
coming soon to a city near you.
But if you live in St. Louis,
coming to Richmond Heights.
And anyway, getting back to the mist like game.
I figured out the board game stuff. Oh. So the one where the guy just disappeared. This is the craziest part. The one where the guy just disappeared. It was only $22,000.
And so over that he disappeared?
So like that is not even enough to do anything.
What did he do? Buy a trailer?
Yeah, he in swamplands in Florida and got a pet gator or something. But
maybe he had student loans he had to pay off. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, so the bigger one that's like actually affecting me right now, the creator of Cards Against Humanity had a game called Werewolf, and it's a take on like a really popular card game. That's you know, kind of public domain. So everyone does their own version. So it was, there's only one category. You pay $10 and you get the 20 cards, just like, you know, poker size cards of the game. That's the whole thing. Estimated delivery, June 2013.
Mm-mm.
November 20th, he just updated saying, we just got the boxes in and we're going to start shipping them out.
Well, at least you'll get it before the end of the year?
Maybe. Yeah, possibly, but,
but still.
It's also the guy who did Cards Against Humanity, which is the biggest, like, card or board game in 10 years, 20 years maybe.
Didn't, when they initially made that game, wasn't it more of kind of like out of your house kind of thing? Like, they were just kind of doing small productions of it, or did they? Because every time I try to find expansion packs or information about like starter sets, it always seems to be ones that people happen to get like when they would do these little small like oh, we're gonna make like a couple hundred thousand of them and then sell them. Like,
here's the thing, they have some pretty genius business models across their line of Cards Against Humanity now, but they started on Kickstarter. The first batch came from Kickstarter, only $15,000 raised. Then they blew up. The problem is they don't sell any of these things through retailers.
Right.
They don't do wholesale pricing. So you need to get it all through Amazon. Like that is their fulfillment.
So that's the problem I was seeing.
Yeah. And any cards or like their small expansion packs that do show up in stores are marked way up because they still have to make a profit on them, you know?
Yeah.
Let's see, the Cards Against Humanity base set is number one in toys and games on Amazon.
Wow. That's a pretty big deal.
Yeah, toys and games. That's everything.
This is a fucking card game.
Yeah.
Catch all phrase right there, yeah.
Well, see, that's the thing, though. Like, so with this Myst game, it's going to be, I'm assuming it's going to be digitally delivered to people, right? So you don't even have to worry about a physical. Actually, wait, there's a digital collection tier. Give me the box. So they are going to make, like, physical boxes, I guess. Because I always assume that it should come out faster if you don't have to worry about printing the discs. Because that's always delayed. Like, for AAA titles, at least, like, you got to get it certified, and then it takes, like, a month or so just to, like, print all, like, the millions of copies and all the physical elements. But if you could cut that out, I would think you'd be able to at least lop a month or two off of the waiting period for your game. But also, this isn't like Myst per se. I'm looking at this thing, so it's called Abduction. Abduction.
Abduction.
Actually, it says Abduction, noun, the act of drawing or laying over as a covering. So they have a very Myst-like look, It actually looks almost a little more painterly even than the previous Myst games. I mean, I shouldn't say previous Myst games because it's not Myst. My brain seems to want to connect it to Myst too much. But it's kind of like, I guess, like more of a spiritual successor. But I never... So I played the first Myst, and that was kind of it. And my understanding is that the subsequent games actually went more into like some kind of overlying story, I guess, in that world.
The story was really deep in Myst too, if you paid attention, if you read some of the books and stuff like that. If you paid attention, like the two sons of Atrus, like they reveal quite a bit about the story. And if you wander around the library on the original island on Myst Island, you know, they really delve into like the history of the ages that you visit in that game.
But they didn't do that in the first one, right? I don't remember any of that.
No, they did. They definitely did. Like I said, you had to be paying attention. Like when I was a kid, like, you know, I'd fuck around and I wouldn't really pay attention
to the story. I think that's the problem. Like I played it when I was in... Was it middle school or something?
Yeah,
like
I was
that.
Probably in elementary or middle school when I first played it. But like when I got a little older, like maybe in like when I was a freshman in high school, and I started to appreciate stories and not even just video games, but like, you know, in movies and stuff like that. It's a really good story. And there was a set of books to go along with it too. And they were pretty interesting. Riven is like just like full stop one of the best video games ever made. Definitely one of the best adventure video games ever made.
So what happened to those other three games?
The other three games were not developed by Cyan, first off. Second off, they were developed by Ubisoft, which is bad. You know, it's just the original writers left, I believe.
That seems to always be like I'm straining to try to think of a situation where a different developer or a different creative force has taken on a franchise and done better with it. There always seems to be a slight dilution or decrease in quality or a totally different shift in story. Like, for example, Assassin's Creed, what is his name? Patrice Désilets or whatever? The original, one of the creators. It's like, he definitely, I think he was only around for the first two games. He definitely had crafted this sort of feel behind where you think the story's going and the world, that sort of thing. After that initial team was either split up or fired or whatever, the Assassin's Creed 3 and those like middle Assassin's Creed games, the like Brotherhood and whatever, start feeling noticeably different. And they took the story in this direction. And I'm like, where are you going with this? Like, this doesn't feel like what you were going to do at all from the beginning. But, that seems to be the case. Like, even the new Arkham game that just recently came out, a lot of people were complaining because, you know, they gave it over to, was it Warner Brothers or a different developer? And everyone's like, yeah, it's aping the original elements, but it's not crafted with that same kind of care. And it's not, it feels like not a substandard product, but not one that meets the kind of level that the previous ones did.
Yeah.
Although I've heard some elements, probably like the Joker-related elements of the story, were still pretty good, but overall, the story had its problems.
Know where that's not true? Like, where turning over the franchise actually made it better?
Where?
Empire Strikes Back.
Shit. That is true. But see, that's not a game, though. That's the problem.
Right. It's not a game. But.
Oh, man. You know, if only they kept that trend. Like, even Return of the Jedi wasn't, like, terrible. But, like, if they
And Ken Levine didn't write the first System Shock game, either. He wrote System Shock 2.
Yeah, I was just thinking about that, because I was looking at System Shock and how much you relate to Bioshock. I realized the first two System Shocks.
That's a good point, yeah. So, there are certain cases, but it seems like, overall, they seem a lot more few and far between compared to, like, usually the downgrade all the other games seem to get.
Maybe if those guys took over, Doom, I'd be a happier person.
Wait, Ken Levine?
Anyone that isn't controlled by Bethesda, really? Bethesda, I mean? Yeah. Because that's...
Is it owned by Bethesda now?
I think they are, yeah. Because all the Doom packages on Steam are released as part of, you know, that package.
Oh my God.
Interesting.
Oh my God.
They definitely have some sort of relation, and it's definitely causing it to go to shit.
Oh.
Either that or the fact that John Carmack's strictly a tech guy and doesn't understand shit about gameplay. That's a different debate altogether.
Yeah, I was just saying.
This sounds like a really good YouTube series, like have Ken Levine take over other franchises.
That would be kind of cool. Nukem.
Like Duke Nukem, according to Ken Levine, like,
you know, I wish there was some way you could like get him to commit to doing that. Like, I would be fascinated to see like what makes his brain tick. Like, if you just tossed a bunch of game series at him, like what he would like, how he would go and run with that.
Yeah.
Like, would they all end up feeling kind of like BioShock, but just a different like Doom BioShock or something?
I wonder if he could be candid, or if he would, because like he'd have to basically say what's wrong.
Yeah.
With like, the current series, you know.
Well, I mean, if you took like a really old series, like I'm not talking about like the newer Dooms, but if you took like one of the old ones, I would think that'd be a little safer because there's been so much time that's passed between now and whenever the game came out, then most people will be like, ah, yeah, I guess I could see a problem with that. Anything that's really fresh, people still seem kind of raw about a lot of the time. But I would think something that's been sitting on a shelf for a while might be a little, you know, people might be more open to that.
When you think about it, Doom 3 has already been, what, 8 years
ago? Yeah, isn't that crazy? So
that's not even fresh anymore.
Yeah.
I was thinking about the other day, Doom 4 has been in development for, it's this new Duke Nukem, it really is. It's like, everyone keeps expecting these updates, and it's just the last update we got was, yeah, we're starting over.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
In terms of old series, though, I really wish somebody would try, you know, the King's Quest, like the old Sierra games. Like, I wouldn't mind seeing someone who has that kind of mindset try and revitalize those series. Like,
too bad Sierra's owned by Activision, though.
Well, that's the problem, right? I think we talked about this a long time ago. There were rumors that they were going to try to revive the King's Quest series, and then that just seemed to fritter away into
said,
the air.
Nope.
Well, I don't know if it was Activision or something just didn't gel well at the time. I don't know. Because Telltale seems like the only game in town for the most part. You know, they have a certain standard level that people seem to go for. Well, I mean, that's the funny thing. Like, it's sometimes not even necessarily super great, but because they feel kind of like the only show in town.
Well, it's like the only really good adventure company anymore.
Yeah.
The one that makes decent games, which is interesting because these guys from Cyan making a comeback, I'm kind of like, ooh, they finally.
Well, that's the thing.
Is this going to be like? It's going to be like
a. Together, getting a little excited.
It's going to be like it's going to be like Yes showing up in the 1990s. You know, it's like, ooh, are these old guys going to be able to handle the way business is nowadays? You know.
Yeah. But yes.
Can John Anderson still sing? No, he
probably,
can't.
He probably can't hit those notes. Yeah.
No, he can't hit those notes anymore.
Yeah, but I think that kind of competition is good. Let's get some more of those kind of genres, like or people making games from those genres visible, and see like maybe that'll help spur some other people into making games too. I mean, that's the nice thing about adventure games that yeah, you might need a decent sized team depending on the quality level, but you can make a lot of adventure games with smaller teams. There's certain things that are less demanding, you know, if you're following the old kind of adventure game style. Like Telltale, yeah, they seem to have really upped their. I think they're working with another company as well. They upped their employee count or something because now that when I look at their credits, they're substantially longer. But originally, they were accomplishing what looked to be similar tasks, but with smaller numbers of people. Yeah. So maybe we need, I hate to say we need more Kickstarters, but maybe we need some way of encouraging people that normally would feel like, oh, I can't do this myself to maybe
I get what you're saying, EG. I get what you're saying, and I'm in. Let's do it, guys. We're making a game.
All right.
God, what would we make? That'd be difficult. Well, we need someone to program it, though. That's the big problem.
We would just make Ken Levine's Duke Nukem, right?
I mean, perfect. Ken Levine's Duke Nukem.
Let's just go get John Carmack. Ain't working for anybody anymore, right?
Like, we're kind of broke.
He's doing the Oculus Rift now.
Oh, yeah, he is. You're right. I read about that.
Yeah. So he's got his own thing.
So I guess he does have a job, yeah.
Ken Levine presents Duke Nukem on the Oculus Rift. I'm with it, guys.
You know.
Epic.
I wonder if the BioShock games work on Oculus Rift. They probably don't.
It probably looks like trash. You know, when you get up close to those textures, they look like trash.
Yeah, the other problem is they don't. There's like this third party program, I think, or plugin or something for games that aren't natively supporting the Oculus Rift. And my producer checked out some things like on Skyrim uses that third party plugin, whatever it's called. Yeah. I don't know what it's called. And he says it just doesn't give you as amazing an experience. as a game like Minecraft or Half-Life 2 or something where it is natively like supported. It just doesn't feel as immersive as those games. So I wish that more games were kind of trying to get on board with adapting their stuff for Oculus. Like, maybe it's really fucking tricky. I don't really know how it works, but I just want to have more reasons to use that thing. Although I keep getting sick after, like, not sick, but like you start feeling uneasy about maybe a half hour or 45 minutes in. So yeah. It is kind of difficult to do long bursts of gaming. Okay. So there's a Myst game. I called it Obduction.
Obduction.
I have to say it weird just so I don't accidentally say it like correctly. Abduction. There's.
Are we sure that's not short for like oblong abduction?
Oblong abduction. Oh, no. There was a Super Mario 3D World game that I guess came out. Has it already come out?
It has. I've been seeing reviews.
Oh no! It's out.
I was gonna say. I think it's
out in a couple days.
Yeah.
Okay. It's out in Japan, maybe.
Right. It probably is.
It's big in Japan too. Yeah.
It's gonna be on the Wii U, which is also why I haven't really paid attention. Sorry, that is their biggest.
I'm sorry, but it's true.
Yeah.
That I said that I sent that article about how people were worried that they were worried that this new Mario game meant that there wouldn't be another Galaxy, and Miyamoto was like, no, there is.
Yeah.
So then I'm like, okay, let's see some shit, Miyamoto. You know, I love Galaxy.
Well, I wouldn't doubt that he'd make another Galaxy game because it's like Mario is their fucking bread and butter.
I'm sorry. I don't know if I'm gonna like go off track with this, but doesn't just sound so typical of Nintendo?
What, to make a million Mario games?
Well, I mean, like when people are like, I mean, as soon as they do something new or something different, they're like, but what about the old stuff?
Yeah.
And it's just like,
come on, Nox. Me and you played Galaxy. Well, I played Galaxy.
I love Galaxy.
But wasn't Galaxy
Mario 64 too?
Wasn't Galaxy 2 a little too similar?
It was too samey. It was too samey.
It was too samey, and it had a lot of other
Galaxy 2
annoyances going on.
Galaxy 2 was too samey to Galaxy 1.
Someone arguing that Galaxy 2 actually blew away Mario 64 for them. Like,
I want to meet this person.
Yeah,
because I will slap him in the face very hard.
I did not play Galaxy 2.
Dude, I didn't get
that for Galaxy 1.
Wait, how old was this person?
Our age.
Oh. Yeah.
What? Did he sleep through the 1990s?
Yeah.
Maybe he just like didn't watch the X-Files and skipped out on the 64.
That's really, I don't know. I mean, because it's like, we've talked about this, I think, before, but I always feel like I have to include not just the nostalgia thing, but I have to include how important the originator game was towards, like Doom or whatever, you know, Half-Life 1 and that kind of thing. Like, yeah, okay, technically games today might look better or ways play better, but you have to wonder at the core mechanics. The originator is usually so solid and so innovative that you got to give them points for that. Like, it doesn't feel fair to like take Banjo-Kazooie or something like that's an old 3D game that's clearly when they were still working these kind of things out. And compared to a new game like, I don't know, Uncharted 3 or something, be like, oh, see, that old game is shit. You know, like, come on. That's very uneven. Like,
that's when I get pissed at people bitching about GoldenEye when it's like, this is so primitive compared to playing Call of Duty or Spec Ops: The Line. I'm like, did you see what year this came out?
Wait, Spec Ops: The Line. I will say, like, okay.
I'm sorry. Bad example. This is a third person.
Right.
No, it's compared to like Call of Duty. There you go. It's,
I just find it funny. Like, I thought Spec Ops: The Line was a really important gaming experience because I enjoyed the game.
It was Apocalypse Now.
Right, but in terms of gameplay, though, it wasn't that great. Like, I will appreciate it for the story and the weirdness and all that stuff. That's great.
You can't appreciate it for the story because Coppola did it years ago.
Cool. If you ignored the move, the Coppola angle, say you never saw the movie ever, and you played Spec Ops: The Line.
13.
It would be pretty amazing, wouldn't it?
If you're 13.
Well, you don't have to be 13.
Sorry.
There's a lot of people that don't watch movies.
But it's like a classic movie by one of the greatest directors still alive today. I mean, How can people not know about that?
Have you seen the uncut version? It's forever to watch, though. I can't.
Well, yeah. I mean, let's be honest. There's a reason why those scenes were cut.
Yeah.
It's like we're dealing with a Ridley Scott.
I don't want to listen to like 30 minutes of dialogue about the French in Vietnam because, you know, I know they were there. That's cool, but there's another plot going on, guys.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, so...
My 2 cents on the movie, sorry.
Right. So, but the Mario stuff. So people, I guess, were panicking, like, oh, where's the next Mario Galaxy game? I'm sure they're going to make duplicates of every existing Mario type game in the future. Like, they're already coming out with another Smash Brothers. They're going to do...
But that Smash Brothers isn't being made by HAL.
Was there ever another Mario Sunshine?
Who's making it?
I think it's Capcom.
This is what we were just talking about. Let's see what happens with this thing.
Keep talking.
It's going to be the Empire Strikes Back.
Yeah, but unfortunately, it's on a sinking ship of a system, so it's like, well, too bad.
Namco.
I don't care if you got the Wii
Namco
and the Mega Man character. That looks like the little cute Mega Man.
It's Namco.
Namco.
Yeah.
Nambla.
Nambla.
That's why they have that.
Namco Bandai Games. Yes.
Okay.
So does that
Nintendo's working with Nambla?
Oh god. are they going to have like a Soul Calibur character in there then, or maybe like Tekken one or something?
I don't give a shit about Super Smash. I don't give a fuck about that.
I enjoyed the Wii version. Was pretty fun.
Super Smash was forever ago. Pretty good fun.
Yeah, the first one, but then, like, you know, remember when I was talking about that guy who liked Pokemon that I work with?
Mm.
He's also, like, he used to play Smash tournaments, and he, you know, having that inside voice, like, you know, when he first said that, I just started laughing. I'm like, are you fucking kidding me? And he goes, yeah, the culture's pretty fucking bad, and I hate it, you know, but he's really good, and he, like, made a ton of money in state.
I'm amazed
that I guess because I avoided the culture, but, you know, I never ran into that, so I've always enjoyed the Smash Bros. Series.
Well, the first one is good. It's like that thing when, you know, when you enjoy something, and then when you're exposed to something, like a wider world, like you realize that it's just a bunch of bullshit. Like, I used to love playing the original Smash Brothers. But, like, when Melee came out and, like, you know, a bunch of my friends who... These are the types of friends that would, like, play CS hardcore back in the day.
Mm.
So when Melee came out for the GameCube, they'd be like, you know, like, oh, this is, you know, this character's top tier. But, you know, rattling on about that sort of stupid bullshit. I'm like, fuck you guys. I'm not going to play this anymore, you know? It's that sort of thing.
I just don't get how they can have tournaments on it, because it's like there's so many times I've watched games where it's like it's totally random what can happen.
Well, that's
like
the thing. They remove all items. You can have no items, and you play in a very neutral stage. Like, that's the joke, unfortunately. It's like no items, no whatever. You only play on the level
Final Destination. Yeah. Right.
No fun.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No items. Fox only. Final Destination.
That's fucking no. I hate Fox.
Fox is shit.
I actually used to play with Bowser for the longest time. Bowser's pretty good, but he's
Father?
Really slow.
Father?
Dumbass.
What did he say? Dude, that was like...
Don't ever give up, my son.
Don't ever give up. Honestly, use the 4-star Fox. It's like pretty much...
You know,
trust
that's...
your instincts.
That's one series they need to come out with another one for, because it's like... What?
Nope.
Why not?
He's going to mess it up.
I mean,
mess it up.
But there's really good potential there. If they got a good
say about every, that's what they say about every series they revive, and it turns out to be shit.
Well, what I don't get is they did do one for the 3DS, right? But wasn't it just a rehash of like one of the first
for the 3DS? It was probably a rehash. Yeah,
it's Nintendo, so yes, it was a rehash.
On the 3DS, everything's
way to support your system.
hey! All I have is a DS. That thing's about 4 years old.
Yeah, I still haven't bought a 3DS. I don't know. I mean, there are more games now that I might be interested in Pokemon, but
it's a 2DS.
Get two of them?
No, get the 2DS that looks like a tombstone because it's
That is the weirdest design choice.
It's just gonna be a picture of Miyamoto on the top part and something else on the bottom. Yeah.
All right. Okay. So there's all that stuff. But yeah, other than that, news has been a little scant this week. I think most people are gearing up for the whole next gen console buzz.
Well, no games on the PS4 apparently. I'm not even joking this time. Like you were talking about that before. You said there were no games.
Well, I mean, there's games that are available on other consoles, but no exclusives, really. Okay, no,
PS4 has no exclusives. There you go.
I think within the next couple of months, yeah, there will be. And a lot of not HD, because they're already HD, but like PS4 versions of previous
Super like PS3. HD.
Yeah, like the, you know, Journey and all that stuff. But
I hope they release Journey again.
Oh, they will, probably.
They better.
I mean,
that almost made me buy a PS3.
They're already doing that with Flower and, aren't they? Flow. So I think it's just a matter of time before they do that with Journey.
Probably. You know what? The other thing is that would probably make me buy a PS4 is I did. We talked about this last time. I mentioned Supergiant, but I don't think I said that it wasn't going to be on the Xbox, the X-Bone, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's just going to be on PS4 and the PC.
Hmm.
Which is a big sell for me because. God damn, I fucking love Bastion.
Yeah. They did a pretty good job with that game.
That's all you're going to say?
What?
You're not going to talk. Oh, Digi wonders what you need to say about that narrative.
Yeah, the narrator, though, is like such an important part of that game. Like, I wonder what it would... It probably wouldn't be very... I mean, it would still be good, but it wouldn't be nearly as good without that that concept. No. But yeah, so, okay, we are going to now do, unless you guys have any other news, we're going to merge into our spoiler section, our spoiler alert.
Oh, shit, son.
Yeah, so for BioShock's DLC, Burial at Sea. So if...
That'll be it for me, I imagine.
Yeah, I was just thinking of way to tell Knox, like, get out of here.
Yeah, does Knox care about being spoiled? Or
if you want to get spoiled, you're more than welcome to
No, you see, here's the thing. I had the first BioShock game spoiled for me by someone. I won't name names,
yeah,
but they're on the podcast.
It wasn't me.
EG.
It wasn't me, for sure.
Oh, come on.
It certainly was not Colin. Co-host Colin at all.
Hey, Valerie saw it beforehand too. She might have said something.
So no, I specifically remember the scenario.
I got to hear this.
we were at, I believe, I can't remember the exact restaurant, but we were definitely at a restaurant in Colombia. I want to say it was that Mexican joint.
Oh, El Rodeo.
El Rodeo.
Yeah.
And I remember you guys talking about it, and you're like, I don't want to spoil it for you. And I was kind of like, I didn't really care at the time. and then later on, as I was playing BioShock, and it was like post-spoiler, and you were like, you repeated what you had said in the restaurant, and I had completely forgotten about what you had said at the restaurant, because I didn't really care. And I was like, as I'm playing the game, I'm just like, you fuck nugget. Like, so that's why he's been saying that the whole time. God damn it.
Yeah, that's that phrase.
That phrase. You're still. I love it. I hope we're still dancing around with what the trigger phrase was.
Yeah,
I
did. You guys,
it's like 6 years. It's like, gee, guys, I don't know. Do you think we can mention
it? I don't even want to say it because if anyone out there hasn't played it, without a doubt. I don't want to have them go through what I went.
So spoiled.
I think that everybody with a Steam account has about 6 copies of BioShock.
Yeah, they kept.
I was sitting there just going, aww. This is so well executed. God, that's kind of my reaction.
Okay.
So I don't want to have that happen again, so I'm going to go ahead and
all right, out. Knox, would you kindly get off of the podcast?
It's been real, y'all. I'll see you next time.
All right. Fake is a lie.
See you, Knox. So for everyone else, if you would like to listen to our spoiler discussion, stick around. If not, I am going to do our normal spiel and say... we have an email address at nameofgamepodcast@gmail.com that you could send us anything you'd like us to talk about or any feedback you may have. We have a website, inthenameofgame.com. That's where we have this episode and any other previous episode to listen to. We also have a Facebook group, which is also just called In the Name of Game. We have a Twitter, which is @InTheNameOfGame. And we are also on iTunes. So there's a lot of different ways to reach us and to listen to us. And we appreciate all you listeners. We really do. So until next week, we'll see you guys. Have a great time with your new systems if you bought them. Hopefully you'll find something
you're
to play them.
If you buy a system this early.
Yeah. Well, let them buy it if they choose.
Don't buy it.
you shouldn't, but I'm going to say I'm not going to judge.
Buy an Xbox One for every room in your home.
Oh my God!
Leave the cameras on.
Yeah, leave the camera on so Microsoft can see your dongle hanging out.
Yeah. All right, we'll see.
You got something against my dongle?
We'll see all you guys next week. Later. Bye-bye.
Later.
All right. If you stuck around, you are part of an exclusive group that's going to be talking about...
You're part of an exclusive group that gave Ken Levine 20 more of your dollars.
15.
Oh, wait. I mean, I'm sorry. Iggy paid 15 for one. I paid 20 for three. Oh, what a... She's so dumb.
You know. I was reading some reviews, and a lot of people do factor in the $15 price for their reviews. Because they have to consider if somebody hasn't gotten the season pass. So that is usually a factor, and that's the first thing I'm going to open with, that as a $15 side game, it's kind of expensive.
I would have felt cheated if I'd paid $15. If I'd paid $15 for this.
Yeah. Okay.
I'm of two minds. Okay, well, do you think it's worth $10?
We always have this whole thing that we dance around in terms of gameplay versus like time spent in gameplay versus cash. You know, like did I get 6 hours of gameplay for like $10 or whatever? But I've seen it varies, but I've seen people spend anywhere between I think 2 to 4 hours maximum, and that's really pushing it on this DLC.
Yeah.
And one of the reviewers said 2 hours, and I was like, I think I spent around maybe
three. I spent probably four at the most.
Right.
I'd say more than
I think,
three.
I think I'm like three and a half maybe, and that's listening to every conversation.
And technically there's gameplay there and stuff, but the thing that irked me a little bit was when you think about the story content, that's where it felt really light. And this is a game where, you know, the story is so vitally important. So on the merits of story, if we were going to talk about how worth it, like if it's worth $15, that's where I start faltering, because it's like, okay, if I spent $15 on a game that was nonstop story, and it's a story, like it's a game that the story is important, then that's great. Then I feel like, okay, that's totally worth it. But this is a series that values its story so highly, and yet most of it is just kind of wandering around. And it's like, oh, hey, remember Rapture? Here's some Rapture-y thing.
So lame. And then I was really excited for this, too. And I'm sure I mentioned this in past podcasts. It's like, and I think I even said this last week. It's like what happened with Halo 2 when they hyped it being on Earth. They had about two levels, you know, two levels on Earth.
Well, that was the thing with this one. So they showed in the trailer this very noir-ish kind of with a femme fatale and all this thing.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, shit, like noir style gameplay in Rapture and with infinite controls and all this stuff, sign me up. And then you find out as soon as you exit Booker's door, that's kind of where the noir ends. And it's really just a side, you know, BioShock game again. Yeah. You do get to see what Rapture was like beforehand, but it's...
That lasts about a half hour.
It's... Not even that much, depending on how fast you go through that stuff to get that.
I drove that out.
Yeah, the little mask subquest thing.
Yeah, which was actually kind of interesting. It was a little simplistic, but it was kind of cool.
It was very simplistic.
Yeah,
it was literally three different areas where you did the exact same thing, and I did notice from playing through it again that they do randomize the location of the mask depending on.
So they do.
Yeah, because I tried. Okay. It was at one place, I think it was the record place that I got it from, and I was like, fuck that, I'm just going to go right to the record place again, and it wasn't there, so I'm like, okay.
Have you guys noticed that things are always in the last place you look for them?
Isn't that good one, Adam. Very philosophical.
Yeah.
You're like that guy at Walden Pond, or whatever his name was.
Yeah, Walden Books.
Yeah, that's good.
But, yeah, so they got a little more... I wouldn't really even say that's necessarily replayability, because they did this thing, and I'm trying to think back to the old BioShock levels, but it was really obvious in this one where once you're in the dark side of Rapture, where it looks just like, you know, BioShock 1 style.
It looks more like BioShock 2. It was just so disappointing. It was even the same kind of concept, and I mentioned this last week too, is that, you know, it was like this sunken, this building that had been cut off from the rest of Rapture, which was just like what happened in Bioshock 2 at the end when they were in that, like, that pseudo-prison sort of whatchamacallit, you know? Which I guess that they were trying to drive home the point that Andrew Ryan's betraying his own
tenants. There's a one of those visual, what the hell are they called, where you see the news? Those little...
What the fuck did they call them? They call them a different thing than what they call them in a...
They function like TVs, but...
No, they function like the things in Infinite where you're looking and then it's like the silent film and...
Right, so there's the silent film...
Kinetoscope? Well, they're not silent in the 60s, yeah.
Because it actually has audio in the in this one. So there's one of them... There's one of them that I watched where it was talking about... the burden of Andrew Ryan taking over Fontaine's stuff to try to figure out like what to do with it. It's like, really? A burden? You have all these... I think
that was kind of the point, you know?
No, but that's what I mean. Like that's their way of trying to explain, like, okay, this is how we still have Andrew Ryan doing stuff, but we're laying the framework for him inevitably, like, this whole thing fucking collapsing.
Yeah.
Because he's already going against some of his own values and all this kind of bullshit.
Well, that was supposed to take place on the day before the Civil War began, right?
I believe so, yes.
Because it's all the calendars say like the 31st December of 1958.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it started that night. It was the New Year's Eve, and I think it was 1959.
Yeah. So it's very, very close. But there, okay, so the potential could have been cool if there was more time spent in kind of exploring... pre-Rapture?
I'm telling you, man, I think that L.A. Noir applied to Rapture would have been cool.
It really would have, but I think I'm trying to figure from their point of view why they wouldn't have wanted to do that. Maybe it would have been too difficult to maintain it and then also still have gameplay? I don't know. It's something I can't really wrap my head around, like, because it feels like they wanted Noir, so it's like, why didn't they try to do Noir if you want Noir? Like, Elizabeth already starts sloughing off the femme fatale thing like maybe an hour or so in. Like, she just starts acting like a pissed off Elizabeth after a while. So, and what's funny is for that reveal at the end, I was wondering, I only died a couple times, but I was doing normal mode. I know if you do hardcore, you die a lot. It's pretty brutal, actually.
Wait, were you wondering why Elizabeth try so hard to bring him back to life?
Well, okay, it's a two-pronged thing, right? Like, that, definitely. But also, at the time, I was wondering, like, why is she being mean to me getting me up? You know, because in the main game, she's like, come back, Booker, whatever. Like, she actually sounds like she wants you to not die. But in this one, she's kind of be like, come on, get up. Like, next time, duck, you dumbass. You know, like, that kind of feel to her voice. So I couldn't understand. I'm like, why? She seems overly harsh with that gameplay mechanic compared to before. And I was like, oh, that's why. But what you're saying is true, because it's like, if she wanted him to get his comeuppance, why would she bring him back to life? Why wouldn't she
I think that she wanted him to see that this one, I don't know. That is a strange question, because, like, the girl wasn't his daughter, right?
Right.
So.
And she knows that.
Yeah, but, I mean, she just needed it to, it's like, let's relate it to Dexter. You know, he wants them to acknowledge the victims and to, you know, have full memory and have this in mind when he kills them. You know?
I guess so. But, like, how would she know that the Big Daddy was going to zap him through the middle?
Well, she can travel through time and do anything. I'm sure she knew it was coming.
I guess so. You know? That was kind of, to me, an interesting nod to... I don't know if it's on purpose, but it felt like a nod to the very first trailer that they had for Bioshock 1. Remember with that nameless guy who...
That's exactly what they were... I read about that, and that's exactly what they were going for.
Okay, because I was like, oh, he got, like, drilled right through the center just like that guy, and he also shrieks, Well, he actually shrieked worse than the guy. Like, it sounded like he went all high-pitched and stuff.
I imagine you would, too.
Yeah, but what's funny is with Troy Baker's...
Depends on if they got my lungs or not.
That's true.
I think you missed my stomach. Can you try it again?
He's still... Well, it's not getting his vocal cords, so he still could shriek. I just don't know how strong that yell would be without your lungs. What's funny, though, is Troy Baker's Booker... was so low voiced that hearing him do like a shriek at the end, it was like, whoa, like it really makes you notice it more, I think.
Yeah. He is a good voice actor.
He's very good.
I do like him.
Very good. Yeah, so that whole ending, well, okay, let's not immediately skip to talking about the ending. So the gameplay, I actually...
It's Bioshock Infinite.
It's Bioshock Infinite, but I actually kind of like that in Rapture. Mm. Like, I didn't have a problem with it. I did feel kind of, like, gypped, because it's like, okay, like, we talked about this before, now it's not really plasmids. It looks like Souchong, story-wise, stole... Like, it's like a
loop. No, it was the other way around, because Souchong said that the guy was stealing from... That Fink was stealing from him.
Yeah, Fink stole from him, but yeah. Then, ironically, Souchong stole from Fink and, like, readjusted the plasmids.
Yeah, so in this universe's Rapture, I think that they operate more like tonics.
Tonics, yeah.
Yeah.
Which is weird, because that means something about the tonics is still fucking up people the way that the plasmids did.
Yeah.
Did you guys get any... I don't know if this was a glitch or it was intentional, but... Okay, you know in the room where you turn up the heat, which is... First of all, when she first says this plan, immediately I was like...
That's a terrible plan.
No. Worst shit I've ever heard. This is going to go wrong. Yeah.
Yeah.
But anyway...
Yeah, because the kid's screaming.
Yeah. But in that room when you turn it up... there was actually something, and I don't know if I just missed it until this point or what, but there was something to give you Eve, right?
Yeah.
And then there was something that gives you health, but it took away salt.
Salt?
It actually said salt.
Oh, say salt.
So they fucked up?
Yeah, and I don't know if like that was them being clever or... If they did just screw up and like,
no, I think that's
who didn't change this to Eve.
This probably is a screw up.
Well, because they're using the salt bottle.
They use the exact same thing, which was well, you know, God, I hate that. I hate it when like, this is what happens when you fuck around with timelines and anything is like, you know, so you're supposed to be in this universe. So you see something from another universe, but it's not the exact same as that universe. So these little details are off and you don't know if that's the developer or the director fucking up,
what I
or if they're trying
is,
to make a point.
Couldn't they at least use a different style bottle? It's not that hard to make a different asset.
It doesn't look, you know, it's not 1912 anymore. Yeah. It looks like you know, one of those things like you would buy a thing of water that had radium in it, and it's like, this is good for your health, you know? It looks like something from 1912. It doesn't look like something you'd find in 1958. Yeah, it's like totally different styles.
But the salt, yeah, that salt thing's got to be a mistake. And that big room was so deceptive because I was like, oh, some shit's going to go down in this room.
Nope.
It's just right. A big daddy. That's room. It.
Yeah. Now, I flew around
you guys,
a lot.
Did you, yeah, I had to do that too. Did you guys play hardcore or did you play just regular?
I just played normal. I just wanted the story.
I wonder. I wonder.
1999 mode.
Oh, is there one?
I think so. For this? I think I saw some YouTube videos going up of like walkthroughs of 1999.
Because I'm wondering if you do a harder mode in that room, if they also, you know, populate it with other things, not just the Big Daddy. Because it seemed very weird to me. It's like you have that much space. And in the previous, remember there was that other previous area that was a couple floors or something where they did have like multiple people. So yeah. I was expecting something like that again. And it was just him. And he's really easy to kill when you're playing it normally. So I was like, well, how is this Big Daddy supposed to be scary to me again? It's like, oh, okay, he can pull me down. I think he pulls you down, right?
I thought was kind of cool when you're riding around with
the air grabber. It's kind of cool, but then you can immediately
air grabber.
Jump. Yeah, air, it's the stupidest name ever. But you can just jump right back on with the air grabber. So it's like, it's not making things that difficult for you.
That air grabber thing was so shoehorned in.
Yeah. I don't know. I actually laughed. I thought it was like so cheesy, but I was like,
"That's what okay. I mean." It's so shoehorned. It's like, okay, so we don't want to break away from one of the core mechanics of Infinite. It's like this doesn't belong in Rapture. You know, that was the point of Infinite, is that, you know, riding on the skylines was supposed to make you feel like you're flying because you're in a city in the sky. Well, it doesn't work in a city under the ocean.
They didn't have to do those like skyline things. I don't know why they did. Like, you don't really use them that much. In the DLC,
he's about twice. Yeah.
Yeah. So they
once
probably
in the Big Daddy
fight
some other
bit. Yeah. I mean, it's almost like they did it just for the reference that she makes, like, "Oh, Skyhook," and he's like, "Skyhook." what the fuck is a skyhook? You know, like he doesn't know what
you
that
mean
is.
This air grabber doohickey that the kids dick around with?
Yeah, that all the kids like. It's the hip thing, yeah. You know? Let's talk about that, actually. So, from what we've seen, my assumption is that this is the same Elizabeth from the main game, because she still has the fucked up finger, but she also seems like maybe some time has passed, because she seems, or she's acting slightly older, a little bit.
And I hate acting like an asshole, but her tits got huge. they really did.
But wait, they were kind of big when she does the dress change in the main game, though, because it's
the thing that
bustier.
Yeah, bustier. Yeah, that's the word. Thank you. I couldn't think of the word.
But like, is she wearing one in this though? I mean, you don't.
I guess, but damn.
Well, so here's my question: does she have the like those facial scars at the end of Infinite for any reason?
Wait, facial scars.
Because she has like really. Like, she has some facial scars in this game.
Does she? I don't remember seeing that.
Yeah, they're really light, but they're kind of like, she's more banged up. So I do think
maybe
time has passed.
I didn't notice that. She does, like, she has this air that makes me feel like she's at least a year or two older or something.
Well,
or
yes,
maybe she's just more hardened.
A harder person than...
I don't know. Don't you think she was kind of putting on an act?
Well, she seemed pretty pissed throughout, and there's something about her that didn't seem as, I don't know. Well,
considering an alternate her got her head lopped off, I'd be pretty pissed, too.
I guess this will be addressed, I hope, in the next one, where you're supposed to be, I guess, playing
this. I really, really hope they break away from the core gameplay in that. In the next one, because you're playing as a different character.
When they were talking about this game, weren't they saying like, "Oh, there's no combat really in the first half"? Do you remember hearing that?
Well, there technically wasn't, because you're just moving around. But
well, there's a ton of combat though. But I remember hearing like, "Oh, it's going to be a different kind of
For her, you mean?
Thing, and it's more like investigation." Oh. I don't know. Maybe they were saying part two, and I just thought they said part one. But
yeah, like you can actually make her open tears and stuff. I did find that funny how she tried to pass off tears as
a plasmid.
Yeah. So I'm like, okay, that people would probably buy it, I guess. Yeah. Oh, there are scars. I didn't really notice the scars in the game, though.
This one's a bit much. Like, I think there's a big smudge on her cheek, and you could put this picture in the show notes or whatever.
Yeah.
But she just has kind of, like, the superficial scars there, but there are a few across her face. And I'm looking through, like, other pictures, and the one that they released of her, like, getting her cigarette lit, mm-hmm. That one doesn't show anything.
Well, that's what I'm thinking. Like, maybe these are scars she'll get, like, in that episode, too.
Perhaps.
Episode 1. Like, her clothes tear in Infinite, you know? Her clothes gradually get torn.
Remember, by the end of the DLC... Oh. Yeah, see, I guess you're right. She did... Because I remember her shirt getting all torn up by the time the episode ends. But I wasn't really paying attention to, like... Because she had all that blood and shit on her face at the end, so I was kind of like, whoa, okay.
So maybe I was just looking at her face more closely as the game progressed.
Yes,
Yeah, I don't know if she started with them or not.
Her hair, now that I look at the picture, her hair also seems to reflect, you know, older kind of frame, maybe. There's something like she kind of carries herself a little differently than she did in Infinite. So I would think that she's a little older. I don't know what she's been doing this whole time. Like, she's just been assassinating various Comstocks, I guess. But I'm wondering why this particular Comstock is so important. And that's the other thing that kind of makes it feel a little bit lame. Because then you realize now that the cat's out of the bag about the twist. Doesn't it make you wonder, like, why is this guy any more special than the other ones? Like, he looks like he died just like all the other ones probably did. Or is this really just a peek inside?
I think it's just trying to help people understand what happened after Infinite, like what sort of shit they got down to. you know, or what, I guess what Elizabeth got down to, considering Booker was killed, maybe, sort of, timey-wimey?
I guess maybe this Comstock is
this Comstock
also,
is kind of a dick.
Well, it's also
well, he's Comstock, he's a dick.
Because this kid was decapitated.
Yeah.
It wasn't just a pinky, you know, like...
Yeah.
This reality's Comstock was way, like...
He fucked up way more.
Yeah.
That makes you wonder, like, what that did to that Booker. Because, like, that Booker was left with a body.
Yeah.
That'd be fucking traumatic as hell. Like, that's not a finger. It's a whole, like, headless body of a baby. Oh, my God. But, you know, one interesting thing about this Comstock Booker fucking up and kind of repeating the same mistakes made me actually think about the initial games Booker, where, like, okay, all these Bookers seem to have problems with gambling, no matter what. They all seem to have an issue with that. But they all seem to not be able to kind of break away from what they are. And I'm wondering if... like, they're bad habits, I mean. I'm wondering if that's supposed to be kind of a downer for the main game's Booker. Because it's like, you have that... We've talked about this. You have that feeling at the end where there's the unknown if, you know, there's the Anna in the cradle or not. And a lot of people want to be optimistic and say, maybe there is. Maybe he has one more shot. But this DLC almost kind of makes it more of a downer in that, well, if this guy... tried to forget everything and move on, and he's just going back to doing the same stupid shit as before, then it makes you feel like maybe there's no hope for these Booker DeWitts. Maybe they're all kind of condemned to go in the same kind of cyclical, like, deterioration, you know?
I think that's a misunderstanding of, like, the mechanics behind the, like, this branch of science, like, this quantum stuff is that they all occur at the same time. You know, like, they're all occurring. So, yeah, Booker is getting a second chance, but he's also getting killed in myriad, millions, infinite number of ways, you know, because he's a fuck-up.
Right, but that's what I'm wondering. Like, are they all doomed to be fuck-ups? Or
no, they are. They all aren't. They all are and they all aren't, if that makes sense. They're all doing it at the same time. That's the mind fuck.
Would you think you know? That the infinite Booker is maybe the only one that technically isn't a fuck up because he actually chose to try to break away from that by like letting himself
get...
No, but he let himself be drowned as opposed to the other ones who always were like fighting against it and wanting to maintain their fucked up lives. Like this guy. Like this guy was like, okay, I am getting these flashbacks of a baby with a head cut off, and yet I'm still trying to hold on to this fake reality that I've made for myself. Like he clearly was a Booker that did not want to atone for whatever he did. But the main game's Booker was like, yeah, I'm an asshole. I ruined this for everybody, and he acknowledges it.
No, but even in that, like even like considering the end of the original game is like the choices that he makes there. Opens up like infinite branches off that. You know what I mean?
Right.
It just piles on top of each other.
Opens up infinite branches.
It does. And I mean, it does. It opens up infinite number of branches.
But do you think it kind of
that kind of takes away from the power of the story? Like at first, it's like you know.
Well, that's what I mean,
thought about. Yeah. I thought about it that way. Is that like you know? Obviously, this guy feels like shit when he realizes what he did. He feels like shit for what he did, and he wants to atone for it. But at the same time, it's like the mechanics of like every piece of media that deals with time manipulation has its own rules, and the rules of this universe don't lend themselves to like a pretty picture.
Well, this guy also is different in that he doesn't, unlike the other Booker, Comstock Booker doesn't necessarily want to atone. He wanted to just wipe his slate clean, like. He doesn't want to, like, try to make good on whatever, you know, bad things he's done. He wanted to do the opposite. He wanted to run away and hide in a new life and, you know, start the same shit all over again. So he kind of, if you think about them side by side, it kind of feels like, okay, now you've played the Booker that understood things and said, okay, I'm going to choose for myself. And then you play the other Booker that's like, well, here's a little slice of what he could have been or the downside of Booker DeWitt, you know, like, and I guess you're supposed to extrapolate from that there are infinite other, you know, possibilities, of combinations of things he could have done, whether it's in Rapture or Columbia or who knows, whatever kind of world they're going to make for another BioShock, maybe. But the downside I see about the twist already being, you know, fresh in everybody's head when they're playing this DLC, like the original twist, you know, the infinite thing, is that it kind of feels like what else, where do you go from there? You know, now that's always going to be in the back of my head every time I do one of these things, like, okay, so we've already let the, we've seen behind the curtain. We've seen the big giveaway of, you know, the infinite, concept. So now every time you do something with Elizabeth, it's like, well, is there a point? Because she's just going to be like, maybe there's infinite ones of her mucking up things too. Like, where does it end?
Exactly. Well, I think that she's the one constant, you know, if you take into consideration the rules of that universe, is that she's the constant because she's the one who can travel between them at will, pretty much. I guess a Lutess is more so is like, they're the ones that kind of afford her that, I guess. I guess that the Lutesses are really the central character in this.
Yeah, they just arc. Popped up once, I guess, though, right?
And I know, that was disappointing, because I like them a lot. I think they're really cool. Yeah. Same with
not
Cohen.
As much like, as you guys like Sander Cohen.
I fucking love Sander Cohen.
I hate him.
I love Sander Cohen.
Can't stand him.
And it was sad when he was just, I'm like, I was excited. I'm like, oh, is he going to be like really central? No, he's in you for know, like 5 minutes.
One of those things is, aside from the foreshadowing, how the fuck would he know that she's unusual? He's not like psychic.
Who, the child?
No, Sander Cohen. So it's like his bullshit about, like, you're not who you seem to be, little bird, or, you know, like, whatever that bullshit says. It's like, come on.
What we didn't see is he says that to everyone before he electrocutes them.
True. I bet he does.
But they clearly wanted to make it seem like he's some fucking, I don't know, clairvoyant or something. And it's like, no, he's just
it's all that
psycho.
Absinthe, man. It's just that absinthe. It's all a wormwood.
But it's like he kept, there are a couple, I think there's at least two or three different points. One of them when they're in the bathysphere going to the department store where he's indicating like, oh, you might not like what you find. Like, did he already play this game? How the fuck does he already know what's going to happen?
He was really close to Ryan. I'm sure that Ryan knew what the fuck was going on.
Yeah, but does that mean Ryan is somehow watching this develop? Like, oh, there's that Booker DeWitt. Oh, I'm just going to let this
Ryan is Comstock.
Oh, God. That would be the biggest fucking bullshit ever.
He's like, wow.
So mad they did that.
I dodged that bullet until later.
Fuck.
Finkel is Einhorn.
Well, you know, I was going to say, no, that's not possible because they don't look alike. But then Comstock didn't really look like Booker in the main game, and then all of a sudden he was supposed to be, so I guess it could be anything.
He was fucked up by all the radiation and shit, apparently. But that was the excuse they used.
Why for his ugly-ass so face?
Yeah, that's why he was so fucked, and that's why he looked so much older than he actually was. You know, Booker was only supposed to be like 30-something, but Comstock was supposed to be the same age, but he looked like a bazillion years older, you know?
Comstock, I mean, especially in this one, since the whole kid angle is such an important plot point for him, I don't understand what is the draw behind him. I mean, okay, so he really wants his daughter, but if he is coming from a continuity where he never had one to begin with, how would he know that he needs a daughter? Like, I can understand the Bookers where they got their kid yanked away from them that feel that, like, that hole, that need to have, like, a kid. But
what was his rationale for needing a daughter in the first place?
That's what I'm wondering. Like, why does he need one? Because those Comstocks, the ones that have Elizabeths, mean that they aren't the same ones that lost the Elizabeths. So, like, what started that? They were the weirdo born again. Like, they shouldn't have that.
This is where it gets just...
It gets confusing.
No, it just gets kind of silly, and it's like, you know. So like, he wanted the child because
is the assumption that he always wanted a kid, and so.
Well, he couldn't have one because he was infertile, so he went to a different universe to get it. But it's like, well, why didn't he just adopt some other kid? You know, within his own universe. You know, that seems kind of impractical.
Like, I guess he wanted somebody that he knew was physically his offspring.
Is sort like, of
now maybe. He has a baby head.
Yeah, now he's.
But that's the crazy thing. Like, that's such a lot of work to go through to get a kid. You'd think with all this weirdo sci-fi tech that they or science that they have in these games, they could have done like, oh, I'm going to use part of myself and make a kid or something like that. I don't know. Like, does he really have to go and yank it out of another time stream or something?
The perfect stream.
And here's the other thing in terms of Comstock. When Elizabeth, when he gets that drill through him, and then Elizabeth goes, I'm sorry, and she goes, what did she say at the very end? Like,
it was lame.
Not yet, you're
I
not.
I will always
something.
Love you.
No, it's like, no. He's like,
I'll be back.
He's like, oh, I'm so sorry, and she's like, no, but you're about to be, and then he gets drilled or whatever. Yeah. But it's like, okay, so. Were you hoping that maybe you wouldn't get fully killed so you could still do some revenge on him? Or were you, like, are you saying you're about to be because there's more happening? Or you're like, no, that's it. That's the end of you. Like, I don't know. Like, it almost feels like she's a little vindictive. Like, maybe she'd want to pull this a little further. Like, she really wants the Comstocks to suffer more than just wiping them out from existence. Like, do you think maybe she's going to, like, torture some of them or something? Like,
I don't know. Maybe being tortured all those years herself made her want to torture people. Maybe she's got, like, a BDSM kink here.
Well, there is that older version of her that's just destroying New York for some reason.
Well, it's because that was fulfilling the prophecy, you know?
Yeah.
That was the him, her fulfilling the prophecy. God, this whole time shit just, it's just, you know, it's such a cop-out because... You can, within the realm of that universe, make your characters do anything they want. You know, that's frustrating.
And just say time.
It's like timey-wimey. It's like, oh, that's so fucking lazy. Well, it's just so lazy.
But even the Lutesses, they just float around wherever they want. It's like, you know, really?
But the Lutesses are fucking cool. Like
they're like the Cheshire Cat of the game.
They are. They're cool, and they're like the one redeeming aspect I think of that is like, you know, if we're gonna have characters that can do that, like Doctor Who's kind of boring. You know, character I mean, but the Lutesses are cool. I like them a lot.
But Elizabeth, like, with her tear powers, she should be pretty much unstoppable. So there's a couple points even in the DLC where it's like, now that she knows, remember at the end of Infinite, she's like, I can control it now. I see everything. I'm fucking omniscient and all this shit. So if that's the case, and she already sees certain pathways in time or whatever, why would they even have gotten caught by Sander Cohen? Why would they even, like, all this other stuff that happens, like, you start to have those plot problems where it's like, yeah. In other games or other shows or whatever, they would find some excuse to weaken the character or do some kind of, like cock block so that they wouldn't be able to use that power or ability. But she didn't have those kinds of restrictions. So I kind of think she's a little stupid for, like, falling into these traps where it's like...
Hold on a second. Stupid. She brought samurais into this motherfucker.
Okay, what was
with that? What was
I
with
dug
that?
It. I don't know. I thought it was, like, such a weird...
And they made, like noises when they would attack. They were,
yeah,
like,
it was strange. Oh, like, no, I understood
were they
the...
They weren't robots. It was like a
samurai. No, they were real. They were samurai. You know, they're,
yeah,
they're dragging
what if this is like a hint as to what his next game's going to be? Like, he's going to tie it into the samurai game.
Is he making Shogun 3 Total War? Oh, God.
I'd play it.
But that was so strange. Like, you're underwater, too. Like, in Infinite, you can argue that... This
was in the same place, but in a different reality.
It was those same Washington robots, or Lincoln robots, yeah. Whatever the hell they were. So you're like, okay, so that makes sense, because they were already in that same vicinity. It's not like they just appeared out of nowhere. But in this one, you're well underwater, and then they're samurai, and they're people, and not like robots or something. So it's like, why would that be there?
Well, I'm just wondering what the hell the samurai's thinking and why he knows not to attack you. He's like, oh, I'm in this giant tube underwater and there's a giant monster over there.
I'm sorry, I'm from 1560. I understand the concept of having a city underwater.
God.
All these white people around
tries
me.
To explain.
Maybe he thinks he's like
I pulled you through a portal to help us. He's like, yeah, I got it.
I got it. What car? Mashtal, let's go.
Maybe he thinks he looks like Tom Cruise and is like, oh, this is the last samurai. I gotta help this dude. Gotta do what he wants.
And the beans. Last samurai.
But anyway, that was really bizarre. It seems like maybe some developer was like, dude, this game needs a samurai in it. It's like, okay.
It's like that It was like that in Left 4 Dead. You know, they had the samurai sword. It's like, okay, what normal person in the South would have a samurai sword?
I always kind
of... I don't know. It's just cool, you know? It's a... Have you noticed this? Is like, so you look at the Hunger Games and...
Wait, for the
samurai sword? Hunger Games, Tomb Raider, Crisis. What do all those have in common?
Well, they have clothes, but that's not...
Yeah, what's the deal with that? What's the deal with that lately? Like, it's the cool thing. Like, samurai and zombies versus... Zombies were the cool thing for a while. Well, it was samurai.
For those three, there is, at least what I'm assuming, the idea that, you know, a lot of those involve stealth killing. So it's like, a bow is silent, it doesn't make noise, like, most...
Except when the arrow plunges itself into somebody's vital organs and they scream.
At that point, you don't care. You just want that thing to kill. So it's like, it's completely silent up until the point that it kills somebody.
You can do that with a gun.
But there's always a certain degree of noise, even on a silenced weapon. But a bow and arrow, like, maybe a slight whistling, but they're not going to hear that. It's going to be too late by the time, you know, that happens. I'm assuming, being devil's advocate, that's probably the rationale for those three things having bows, because, you know, they all involve some sort of stealth gameplay or killing or whatever. Now I can't remember what I was going to say about the other game. I don't know. The DLC didn't really offer me anything new other than the fact that we've established that Elizabeth is on the hunt for Comstocks.
Yeah, and her mom was apparently really hot too.
Oof. Wait, what?
Her mom, Elizabeth's mom. I mean, obviously Booker doesn't look like that.
Oh, God. Yeah, I was hoping that they weren't going to do some weird angle where, like, he says something about her looks or whatever. Like, they didn't really do that. So I was like, whew, okay, dodged a bullet. That would have been really disturbing.
I have a question for you guys. I just pulled up the Metacritic page here just to see what they got.
Is there one for DLC?
Yeah. So the thing is, it's a weird range here. So Xbox 360, Barry, let's see, 67.
Oof.
PC, ouch. 71. Okay. And PS3, 76.
Why is there such a big difference?
Okay. I don't know.
Maybe it doesn't look as good on 360?
No, I can attest to that. It looked like shit. It did look like shit.
Yeah, but...
It's the textures. You get up close and
Maybe, because if you max out stuff on PC, I mean, it looked, you know...
Well, are there high-res texture packs for the PC? Do they release those? Sometimes they do that for higher-end systems.
I didn't manually install one unless they just included it with the...
Well, sometimes they include it, and you can just turn them on if you have the capability. You know?
Well, the install was kind of big. It was at least a couple gigs, four gigs, maybe? But I think that's because you have all this Rapture assets that the main game doesn't have, so...
Well, so wait, Colin, you actually played on 360?
Yeah, I did.
Okay, so we each played on a different system, and apparently, according to Metacritic, I got the best...
PS3?
The best. And yeah. I got the worst.
Yeah, 360's...
I regret that purchase, that's for sure.
I'm amazed it's lasted as long as it has, just because it's always been the shittiest option.
Other
than the Wii, right. I always forget about that because that's not even an option really for me. I always kind of omit it automatically. I'm so mean.
Poor Wii.
It's not poor even HD. Wii. You know, the sad thing is that people
don't play DVDs either.
Yeah, well, unless you... I think, no. Eventually it did, right?
Did it? I don't know.
I don't know.
When I live with Knox, we didn't...
Because for the longest time, you could do a soft, like, boot sort of thing where you could make it accept DVDs. Like, it totally would work.
So it was a DVD drive.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then,
you can't play either.
Really?
Right?
No, you can't. Yeah, because you know what? Because my buddy said he tried playing a DVD and he said it didn't work.
That's whatever.
Now, can you believe that?
That's
can you fucking believe that?
I mean, granted, we're, like, trying to move past this. We're trying to... you know, put everything on the cloud and digital downloads and all of this stuff and stream the movies, but not including that.
Japan's weird. I guess I can't say Japan's weird because Sony pretty much has it working, it seems like.
Yeah.
So I don't understand what Nintendo's trying to do.
I don't know. I'm
the counter of everything.
They're so bizarre. They're so bizarre. Like, I don't understand how they're still in the console business. You know, it's
all right, but Bioshock.
Bioshock, I'm sorry. Bioshock. We are talking about Bioshock, aren't we?
Bioshock.
Always
can't wait to play it on the Wii U.
Yeah. Yeah, let's see a Wii U version. It's probably come out in about 3 years.
Oh, man. Yeah. But, yeah, so, I don't know. Have they even set a date for when the second half of this thing is going to come out?
I don't know, but I hope it doesn't suck.
Early?
Early 2014.
This could be so many, so many things.
Please don't suck. Please don't suck.
Well, I'm curious, so...
Please be different from Infinite, at least in a little bit.
If you're Elizabeth in the second one, is it going to be like third person? Is it actually going to be first person? Because first person up to this point has all been Booker.
Yeah.
So is that going to function as well? Like, are you going to see like dainty hands like in first person or something? Like,
why would that be so difficult? I don't know.
I'm totally down.
It wouldn't be difficult, but it's like I'm wondering if people would be expecting a lot of like action. You know?
God damn it. I swear to God, if people start haranguing. I know, but if people start haranguing this game, it's like, you know, people throw a shit fit over even having the choice. Like, so I'm going to play a game in Skyrim. You can be a female in this? Oh my god, what the fuck? I don't want to play. Oh my god, I'm going to play as a girl.
People do that?
You know, oh god, yeah. Remember we were talking about before? Oh god, yeah. They fucking react that way, and it's just a load of bullshit. You know, I don't even get started on it.
I would love to have a game that's like a reverse of the, you know, what BioWare usually does. So BioWare lets you be guy or girl. However, default's always guy. It would be interesting that they switch that around where the default's the girl, but then they'll be like, what are you complaining about? You could be a guy too, you know?
Here's what the Wikipedia page says, and this isn't actually cited here, so take it with a grain of salt, but... In the second episode, Elizabeth becomes the player character. Being more of a thoughtful character than Booker, her gameplay focuses more on strategy and avoidance of direct combat, more like a survival horror game.
Why is it survival horror, though? She could make tears. She could, like, obliterate somebody with a thought. Why would it be scary for her? Is she trying to maintain
cover? Yeah, I mean, she has motorized patriots and samurai.
And samurai.
I mean, she can't be beat.
And samurai motorized patriots.
Some fucking splicer came out. Awesome. She should just, like, send him to another dimension or something. I don't know. Like,
well, that's kind of a shitty thing to do.
Banish you to the third ring of
some planet. Well, just like a splicer pops up into your house one day.
A sandworm comes out of the ground and starts eating everybody.
Well, if she can... At this point, I can't remember. Can she control the tears?
Well, yeah, she's like God. She can just do whatever she wants.
Because remember,
the only reason that she could only open those certain tears is because they just randomly appeared, you know.
But by the end of the first, by the end of Infinite, she can control it.
When they break the siphon, she can control it at will. Yes.
Right. So that's why I'm thinking, like, okay, you could totally send one splicer off to another rapture where there's still splicers. So it's not like you're dooming somebody else to die. You're sending that scum off to be with other scum. So it's like,
well, not necessarily. That's what I mean. Like, you need to have like a really, really bizarre idea and send them off to like. Just some like something that your reality can never ever conceive of, but you know, like back in time, like a billion years ago,
Things have formed.
Yeah, just, you know, like
well,
if,
and then
like,
there's also the question of like how fast can or like you know does she need to concentrate on something to get it to a specific place rather than you know this thing jumps out at her? Is she just going to react and send it somewhere awful? You know,
I guess that's
like,
true. Yeah.
Or is she going to, like, react and you're going to bring something worse into your world by, you know, trading it with this thing?
I guess so.
That would be cool. Like, if you ran the risk of, like, making something worse by, you know, using your power.
But you know, that would actually... it's interesting that you said that. That would actually be a really interesting twist. That should be something that the player could choose to do or to not do. Like, are you that vindictive against the Comstocks that you're willing to cause these potential extra problems just to make it easier for yourself to wipe them out?
Right.
And then maybe that would affect the ending differently if you've put a bunch of splicers all over the place in other dimensions or something, like, or other events. Like, if you've done things that you could have avoided but chose not to, that would be nice if it was reflected in the end of whatever this DLC is.
That'd be crazy if it also explained, like, the ending of, like, aspects of the original BioShock. Like, that's why that guy was there, and, you know, that's why this happened in the game, or, you know.
Yeah.
Like, he tried to tie more of it together by...
I'm trying to think, like, how could they... It seems so tempting for them to try to tie Jack into Booker or Elizabeth in some fashion.
Yeah, because we're in his playground now, so...
Yeah. I mean, Jack, what was... I'm trying to remember. Jack was Andrew Ryan's and that lady's kid, right?
Yeah, Jasmine Jolene, that stripper.
Right. Okay, so yeah, maybe that can't really connect. Hmm. Unless they did some weird twist where it's like, oh, separated at birth, and he swapped him with, like, a baby Booker or something weird like that. I don't know, maybe not. Ugh, that's so strange. Yeah, so I guess we'll have to see. But I think, unless I'm missing something, it's probably pretty good
to see. There's not a whole lot to miss in this game.
I will say, it was annoying to me how, even in normal mode, so it's probably only worse in hardcore, how little ammo there was all over the place. Like, I was constantly running out of ammo.
Yeah.
And I'm not a bad shot. Like, I was hitting stuff, but it's like, okay, first of all, the electric, whatever the equivalent of Shock Jockey, was it called Shock Jockey in that thing too?
Yeah, it was called Shock Jockey too.
Oh yeah, because they did that reference where she's like, huh. The Shock Jockey didn't do the same thing that it did in Infinite, where if you zap them and then shoot them, like, in Infinite, it pops their heads off, and it's pretty awesome. But in this one, they don't do that. So it's like you're still wasting ammo because they'll be stunned by the zap, but they won't get the additional effect with a shot. So you're pumping more bullets into them than you were into, like, the ones in Infinite, which is annoying. Plus, my producer wasn't able to finish the game because there's this weird error. I was lucky. I didn't have this error. But when I started Googling it, people are having this problem all the way back to, like, March of this year, where the game will just randomly freeze and not close. So you'll have to, like, hard crash your computer because you can't, like, alt-tab out of the of that frozen frame. And I don't know why it's happening. We tried a whole bunch of things to get it to work. Just earlier this evening, he was trying to play through it, and he got up to a certain point, maybe about an hour's worth of gameplay, and then it just did it out of nowhere, froze. So a lot of people are having this problem. I don't know why Irrational was not doing anything to try to remedy it, because people clearly are continually having it. Like, there's Steam forum threads where people are like, is this fixed yet? Can I play the game I paid $60 for? Hmm. But yeah, so... Shit.
What am I hearing?
That is the phone. Sorry. That is an interlude. But yeah, so there's a lot of annoying technical issues I noticed this time around. Like I mentioned before, when you do a melee kill, sometimes it won't even do the kill animation right away. So you'll, like, swipe at them and then, like, a half second later actually kill them. So it just looks very, it looks very messy. Like, it feels like maybe they need a little bit more QA on it or something. I don't know. But you guys played on consoles, so I guess you didn't have that problem. It just really sucks for anybody that was playing on a PC because it feels like you're always dodging that bullet of, will it freeze or won't it freeze? Yeah.
It's like a fun mini game.
that ruins your computer slowly because you have to keep pressing the power button.
Yeah.
I don't know. So I guess we'll reconvene on the spoiler alert stuff for this once the second episode comes out. But I don't know. I'm a little hesitant. I'm hoping it's going to be good. I don't know, though. Like,
it's got to be. Come on.
Well, this one I figured it's got to be good. And then it totally ended up being a different
mediocre
product than what we actually got. So no noir. No really new twist, because it's still kind of linked to the main story's twist. And the only thing that was unusual is like, okay, we've established that Elizabeth is still the same Elizabeth. So, yeah. I don't know. I think that probably covers all the bases. If we missed anything, feel free to email us about it. That's name a game podcast. Name of game. I keep saying name a game. Name of game podcast at gmail.com.
Bioshock. Now you name a game.
Name of game podcast at gmail.com. But anyway, thanks for listening to our spoiler alert. We'll be back. Oh, maybe not next week. That's Thanksgiving, isn't it?
Yeah.
We'll be back soon, probably afterwards. Yeah. So thanks, guys. See you next time. Bye-bye.
Later. Bye. Good.